With the time we have left, Genesis chapter number 6. Genesis chapter number 6. And I won't keep you long. I know most of you ladies have big steaks cooking for your husbands and fathers, and we won't ruin that. But Genesis chapter number 6. You've been seated a while. Let's stand together. We're going to read 10 verses this morning. And look at a man that you don't usually hear preached about on Father's Day. We think about a lot of fathers, and a lot of times this man don't pop up as being one at the top of the list, but I believe that he was a great father, and we'll say more about that. But Genesis chapter number 6, verse 1. There, say amen. Amen. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. I want to preach this for a few minutes this morning on the subject, the achievements of a successful father, or a godly, as Brother Jackie referred to, a godly father. And if being a father is one thing, but being a godly father is something of a whole other caliber. And I don't want to just be a daddy. I sure don't want to be a deadbeat daddy. I want to be a father, and a father that my children can look to and follow after me, and that being a godly father. And we'll mention more about this. Noah wasn't a perfect man, and neither is any of us. None of us are perfect fathers. We have failed our children, failed our homes, no question about it. But I saw something in the life of Noah that caught my attention, and it made me want to use him this morning as our subject. And before I get to talking about Noah, if you was to think about all the fathers in the Bible, I mean, there's many, and many that would probably rise to the cream of the crop as being a godly man or a godly father. You think about men like Abraham and Isaac, Jacob, even Joseph, the husband of Jesus. The husband of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Excuse me. We'll edit that. That'll go out across the airwaves. Joseph, the husband of Mary, the mother of Jesus. He was. I almost preached on him this morning. What a godly man he was to deal with Mary the way that he could. He could have. Put her away. He could have divorced her before it started. He could have even sentenced her to death. Yeah. And I thought about this morning. Had he done that, she was already carrying the Lord Jesus. Yeah. So in so doing, putting Mary to death had been putting Jesus to death. And what a father he was. But then I thought, out of all these men, you hardly ever hear Noah brought up on a day like today. Because we all know Noah had failures right at the end of his life. Sadly, he got drunk and had some wicked things go on, and so that sort of tarnishes him in the eyes of people. But if you go back into his life, the Bible said that he was a perfect man, and he loved God and he walked with God. And then the Bible said that he got his family, his wife and his three boys, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and their wives onto the ark. In other words, he saw to it that his family was saved from the judgment to come. And I think that's as about as successful as you can get. Forget making money and careers. If you can win your family to Jesus and make sure you and your household will go to heaven one day, you will have been a successful father and a successful Christian. I think that's a tremendous testimony that he won his family to the Lord. And in so doing, he saved the planet. He saved humanity. And so we want to look at his life this morning. When we think about Noah, when we look at men like Noah, people say, well, of course Noah was a godly man, and of course he was a good father. But think about some of the things that he had to, and the hurdles that he had to cross. It wasn't just easy picking for Noah. Noah was facing a world similar to what we're facing. It was dark and wicked, and so much so that God, we just read, it repented God that he even made man. And so you think about in chapter 6, verse 5 refers to he raised his family during a time of extreme wickedness. In verse 11, he raised his family during a time of extreme violence. Then in verse 12, he raised them during a time when God and his ways were being ignored by all of society. And verse 17 refers to how he raised his family against the backdrop of impending judgment. So Noah raised his family during some extremely difficult days. It wasn't just a given that he was going to see his three boys saved and serving God and being secured from the wrath that was to come. No, he worked at it, and he walked with God, and he preached the Word of God, and he was faithful, and so faithful that it made a believer out of his children. I think he was successful in doing that. Amen. I'm interested in that because I want the same for my family. I don't want to just be a pastor or a preacher and see many saved. I want to make sure my children hear the gospel and are saved and go to heaven when they die. I don't want to get to heaven and see one of my family members, one of my daughters, missing. I can't think of anything more tragic than that. Can you imagine getting there and realizing there's somebody not there? Somebody that you love, somebody that lived in the house with you, somebody that you talk to daily and forever, they'll be separated from you? That's a big deal. That's a huge deal. And it's not just how we act on Sunday, but it's how we are and who we are throughout their lives. And that's why every father here this morning should be interested in the fact that how we live is preaching a message to our children. Amen. And I don't... Hey, listen. The Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children unto wrath. I don't want to provoke my children to hell. I don't want to push my children toward hell. I want to pull them with me to heaven. Amen. No one did that. So, by the way, this ain't just for fathers. If you're a mother or even a teenager or a young person here this morning, your life too should be preaching a message to those that you love. This ain't just a father's responsibility. It is primarily our responsibility in the home, but it's your responsibility as a Christian and as a believer to win those and witness to those that you love and are around. And so, let's look at a few of these this morning. Number one, Noah walked with God. Verses 8 and 9 said, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. If you're going to walk with God, number one, he had to be a converted man. You can't just strike out walking with God. Everybody listen to me for a minute. I'm not going to keep you long, but hear me. You know, let me give you one example in the Bible of somebody who just started trying to follow Jesus and walk with God, but they skipped first base. They skipped the conversion process. They skipped getting born again, getting saved. There's a man by the name of Judas.
Judas just got in the crowd and he began following the crowd and following those who were following Jesus, and he acted the part and he portrayed the part, but he never was converted. And henceforth, all the whole 3.5 years or however long that he followed with Jesus and acted like he was walking with Jesus, he got to the end of that to an utter demise, and he went out and hanged himself, and the Bible said it would have been better for him never to have been born. You can't walk with Jesus until you've been saved by Jesus.
That's right.
And so Noah was a converted man. Two words that we read about this man, Noah, considering his relationship with the Lord, was grace and just. The word grace is simply means the unmerited favor and love of God for sinners. Grace shows our sins, shows us our sins, provided us with the faith to turn to God for salvation. The word just refers to our standing before God. Ain't you glad in Christ we stand before Him justified? I mean just as if we had never sinned. Praise the Lord. To be just means to be right with God and to be right in His sight. This is the result of responding to God's grace by exercising faith in God and His provision for sin. Noah did that. Simply put, this is the message of the gospel, to receive the grace of God and to be made just before God. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 and 9 said this, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." It is the grace of God that shows us our condition before God as sinners. The Bible said in Romans 3:10, as it is written, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongue they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." It's the grace of God that shows us our need of a Savior and that we need to do something about our sin. It's the grace of God that points us to the remedy for our sins. Acts 16:31, the Bible said, "And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Grace makes the cross and empty tomb real. Listen to Romans 10:9-10. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." It's the grace of God that provides us with faith to believe. And when that faith is placed in Christ and Christ alone, it's then and only then that we are justified by grace. Listen to what the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, or extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God." Well, aren't you glad? That's past tense. "Such were some of you." No longer, because by faith we received the grace of God and were justified, just like Noah. Just like Noah was. And he and his house were brought in. So he was a converted man. Then he was a consecrated man. That speaks to his walking with the Lord. The Bible said that Noah was perfect. And that don't mean that he was without sin or sinless, but it does mean that he was mature. He was whole as a Christian, as a believer. It should be the heart of every father here not to be an immature Christian. Our children have a hard time following us when we are up and down and in and out. No, we need, and I'll say more about this in a minute, we need a consistent, consecrated life as a believer. Something that they can look to and have confidence in that they can follow. Amen. Noah was a consecrated man. The word means upright. It carries the idea that not only did Noah claim the relationship with the Lord, but he lived out that relationship with the Lord. Simply put, our life must match our lips. If we say one thing and live another, we're damning them and dooming them. It's one thing to talk about being saved and loving the Lord. It's quite another to actually live it out and let them see it and experience it. I read this quote. It said, "It may not be right to judge one another, but you will still be tried and convicted in the hearts of those who see the kind of life that you really live." How many of you have ever heard it ain't right for Christians to judge? The Bible says, Matthew 7:1, "Judge not, that you be not judged." It does say that, but that ain't the context of what it's saying. Even if people, you don't want people to judge, and even if it ain't right for people to judge you, can I say this? You will be tried in the hearts of people by how you live. They are looking. Our children are watching. And it ain't just our children, but other people's children. They're watching. And they will come to a conclusion, not by what we say, but by how we live. And Noah understood that. Noah knew that judgment was coming. Noah knew this was not a game. He knew that God was going to rain down a flood on this world, and he had one shot, one life to live that he could influence his children to get on the boat. And he said, "By the grace of God, I'm going to give it my all because I do not want my children left behind." And he succeeded. Not only was he a converted man and he was a consecrated man, but he was a consistent man. The Bible said that Noah walked with God. It wasn't just one step. No, it was one step after another, day in, day out, week in, week out. For 120 years, he preached righteousness. He lived righteousness. He was out there every day working on the ark, hammering and preaching and gathering wood and doing all that God had commanded him to do. And it was a consistent walk. Listen. I think one of the things that hurt our children more than anything else is them seeing us go gung-ho for God and then lay down the next week and then go again when we need God and then lay down and do our own thing. They need something consistent. And Noah spent his whole adult life, the whole entire time that his children were watching him grow and they were growing up, they saw a father who loved God and who was consistent in his walk.
Amen.
That's right. There's something to be said about consistent Christianity. We need it. Not only did Noah walk with God, but then Noah witnessed to others. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, "And spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." The Bible calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. This means that while he was building the ark, he was telling a lost world that the end was coming. He was telling them about the way to escape the impending judgment. Notice how Noah witnessed. Number one, he witnessed through his conduct. He lived a life not just with words, but with his life. He showed people in the way he conducted himself that he was serious about what he was preaching. He wasn't just using words, but he was living and putting his work and his hand to the work, and he was proving with his conduct and his life that this was real. And boy, that's what this world needs. That's what our children need. They need to see that we put up, that we believe what we say. Amen. And that we will put our life to the test. And he witnessed through his conduct. Look what the Bible says about the people around Noah in that society. Genesis 6:5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of their thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Then verse 12 said, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. He was so different from the people around him, it was easy for his children to see the contrast. He didn't just blend in. He didn't just conform to what was around him. No, as the New Testament says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Noah was different. There was an absolute contrast. His children saw the difference in the world around him. And as Christians and fathers, we should set a tone and set a standard in our home and in our life that tells our children and teaches them that you don't have to conform to this world. You don't have to dress like them. You don't have to talk like them. You don't have to listen to the same music they listen to, go to the same places they go to. No, we're Christians. Come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord. Noah preached that and showed that by his conduct and witnessed to his children in the process. Then, the Bible says in Matthew 5:13, This is what the Lord expects from his children. Listen to these verses. Matthew 5:13. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. Our Christianity and our relationship and our fellowship with the Lord should not be hid from our children. They ought to be able to taste it. They ought to be able to sense it. Our Christian conduct should drive them to be thirsty for God. Our light should shine in their lives to where they too can see to find their way out of darkness. The radical lifestyle that Jesus lived out is what he desires for each of his children to live out. Matthew 16:24, the Bible said, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So not only did Noah witness through his conduct, but he also witnessed through his conversation. I think we fail a lot of times when we say, well, they should be able to look at how we live to know that we're a Christian. I just got done preaching about that. But that don't alleviate us. That don't do away with the fact that it should come up in conversation. You should witness to people. You should talk to people about your faith, about the Lord Jesus. You ought to be able to hand out a gospel tract. And Noah did that through his conversation. The Bible, while Noah lived right and worked for the Lord, he also took time to open his mouth and tell others about the Lord. We read the verse a while ago in 2 Peter how that he was a preacher of righteousness. Bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Then Noah witnessed through his commitment. 120 years he worked and preached. After all that effort, the only converts that he had was the members of his family. Some would say, what an epic failure. No, it's not. I don't think so. Yeah, the world died and went to hell. And yeah, the world died in the flood, but he saved his family. He saved his household. I think that's a success. Absolutely, I do. He was committed to it, and it paid off. The Bible said in Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Do any of y'all have a child you've been praying for? You don't know if they're saved or not? Don't quit. Stay committed to it. Stay committed to them. It's your child.
I'm sure there were days when Noah wanted to throw the hammer down and leave the ark alone and go back to doing what Noah... But listen, he was committed to it. He said, I'm not losing my children. I'll stay committed. I'll stay with it as long as I have to, but I'm going to see to it when the flood comes, my children will get on that boat. And whatever you do in life, listen to me, whatever you do in life, be committed to a job. Some of you wouldn't miss work for nothing in the world, and that's commendable. But be that committed to your child. Don't let your child die and go to hell. Don't let your daughter die and go to hell. Be committed to the Lord and live in such a way that when the hard days come, you still get up and you go. When the days come and you feel like, I just need to throw the towel in, you say, no, I got children watching me. I don't want to get to the end date and them not go with me. It's worth getting up and going even when you don't feel like it. Stay committed to them. Stay committed to the Lord. And so he witnessed by his conduct, he witnessed by his consistency, and he witnessed through conversation. And then finally, we looked at Noah walked with God and Noah witnessed to others. Noah won his family. That's the payday. That's the payday. Noah, Genesis 7:1, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Yeah. Noah was a successful father because he walked with God and he witnessed to others, but he won his family. He won his family. And if you don't leave with nothing this morning, leave with that thought in your mind. If I fail at everything else in this life, I'm not going to fail at winning my family. He won their respect. When it was time to enter the ark, his sons and their wives followed him. I think the answer is this. They believed in what he believed because he believed it himself. His family knew that Noah's walk with the Lord was real, and they respected this man for his true, genuine walk with the Lord. Contrast that response. Contrast Noah's genuine walk with the Lord with that of Lot. I'm talking about how he won their respect. Noah did. Contrast that with Lot. Listen to what the Bible said about Lot. Genesis chapter 19. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you. This is Lot speaking. He said, let me, I pray you, bring them out to you and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. He's offering up his daughters. You think they're going to respect him when it says, come follow the Lord? No, they're going to remember that. They're going to remember that. They ain't going to respect him. And they didn't. Listen to chapter 19, verse 14. And Lot went out and spake unto his own sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his son-in-laws. Had no respect for him. They didn't want to listen to nothing he had to say. Notice the contrast. Then listen to chapter 19, verse 30. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in a cave, and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that he may preserve seed for our father. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve our seed, the seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab.
The same is the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Ben-Ami. The same is the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. We've been preaching about the children of Israel and going into Canaan and having to fight the Moabites and the Amorites and Ammonites. Two of them ites come from this two-night excursion with Lot and his daughters being wicked. You know why? Because they had no respect for him. You contrast that with that of Noah. I say clearly, Noah gained and won the respect of his children because he lived consistent, converted, and he lived a consecrated life. Not only did he win their respect, and we close, but he won their response. Genesis 7:7, and Noah went in, and his sons and his wife, and his son's wife with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. They didn't just respect him, but they responded to him. They didn't mock him like Lot's son-in-laws. No, they had respect for him, and when it come time for him to give the invitation, they responded. And they said, if Daddy said it's going to rain, it's going to rain. We never heard of rain, but if Daddy said it's going to, he's a man of God. He's a converted, saved man. He's been consecrated. He's witnessed to us, and he's worked for the Lord all these years. And if Daddy said it, yeah, it's going to happen. And they respected him, but then they responded to him. Don't you want to live a life that where your children will respect you? And then when you give them the gospel, they'll respond. And they won't mock you and laugh at you and stay in a place where God's judgment will fall. I want to live a life in such a way that when I tell them this is what God said, they say, if Daddy believes that, that's worth me listening to, that's worth me respecting, and that's worth me responding to. Amen. Lord, give us some godly daddies that love God enough and love their children enough that they want a household salvation. They don't want to leave any of their kids behind. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. Father, in Jesus' name, take your word, Lord, speak to us. Thank you for Noah. Thank you for his testimony. Thank you for his faithfulness, Lord. And God, I pray you'd help us to take note, Lord. God, I pray if there's any fathers here this morning that's failed you, like, Lord, I've failed you miserably. I pray you'd forgive me, Lord, for my shortcomings, God, where I failed my children. God, help me to rise up, Lord, and make a commitment to you, God. As for me and my house, we're going to serve you. And God, if there's anybody here lost today, I pray you'd save them and bless them for Jesus' sake. Lord, have your way as these are praying. You do business with the Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You have just a moment this morning. We can help.